What is up, my dudes? Welcome back to Olympia Oddities Sideshow. It's been a little bit. A lot's happened. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But I've been having fun. I really have. I've been having fun. I've been getting shit done. We'll get into that more later on in this episode. But first off, I wanted to start with an update to a case that I covered. Some of you might remember the case of Christopher Hart Bridgman Jr. If you don't, he was a man in the 60s who disappeared from the Lacey Motel where he was staying with one of his kids during a custody visit. He left the hotel saying that he was going to go see his dad and left the kid behind. That was the last time that anyone ever saw him, and the kid was discovered a couple days later by one of the hotel employees, completely abandoned. I got a message a few months after I did that episode from a family member who wanted to give me some more information. With some of these older cases, you don't really have a lot of information to go off of, and you kind of have to, you know, hope and pray that the information that you do have is correct. I'm always down to, you know, correct myself or add more information, especially when it comes from the victim's family. A couple months passed and I hadn't really heard anything, so I figured maybe they just forgot. Then I received a message a few months ago telling me that I should keep an eye out for any updates in the case and that there was going to be big breaking news soon. I paid attention to local news, but still nothing. In fact, it wasn't until I went to go look at my podcast reviews with Rob so we could make fun of any new bad ones coming in, because that's what you do with a bad review, laugh at it, when I spotted this. In a review posted in November of 2023, someone said, "Hi, I listened to your episode about Christopher Bridgman Jr. I stumbled upon it while researching my grandfather last night. I also have an update to the case, and it's a bit of a crazy story. Christopher's granddaughter reached out to my mother yesterday. She's been working hard on trying to find out what happened to her grandfather for about 20 years, and now, thanks to a ton of research and the miracle that is modern DNA testing, she discovered that her missing grandfather, Christopher Hart Bridgman Jr., and my grandfather, Christopher William Hart, are the same person. It would seem that Christopher Bridgman Jr. abandoned his family in 1963. We are still unsure as to why, but he changed his name and a few years later met and married my grandmother and had four more kids and essentially started over. There's a lot more to it than that, and we're still ironing out all the details. This all came out a little over 24 hours ago, but as it sits currently, Christopher Bridgman Jr. lived a very long life, unfortunately leaving a long trail of trauma and lies in his wake, and passed away in 2010, leaving behind 8 children that we know of so far, half of which he abandoned. But, on the positive side, thanks to the diligent work of his granddaughter, my newly discovered cousin, his surviving children are connecting for the first time, and 2 families hurt by this man are finally getting some much-needed closure." Isn't it amazing what modern technology can do? It's really insane to see it just solve all these cases that so many people had written off as unsolvable or, you know, just kind of had forgotten about. And I really like that they were able to find a silver lining in it, despite all the hurt that he may have caused both of those families, with their 2 families being able to talk now and reconnect and connect for the first time. And, you know, I hope that that's healing for them. I can't imagine what a trip that would be, though, to find out that information. One thing that does still bother me about that case, and I hope that we will get answers for, is the song. I don't think anyone's ever found his version of the song that he recorded and, you know, was the local hit on the local radio station. I found a subreddit for Lost Media, and someone had made a post asking about the song and wondering if anyone had ever found it. I scrolled through the comments before I recorded this, and it doesn't appear like anyone has. Once again, if anyone ever does find that song, just for my own curiosity, please send me a link. I would absolutely love to hear it someday. And I hope that it is found, and I hope that his families, both of them, are able to do some healing now that they have, you know, some amount of answers. All right, now time for what I've been up to. And it's been a lot. It's been all over the place, let me tell you. So, I tried both snowboarding and skiing. And when I say I was delusional, I was delulu. going into this. I was like, oh, I had a plastic snowboard from Target that I used to go down the hill in our pasture with as a child. I'm going to go out and I'm going to shred. Not quite what happened. So Rob took me to Summit at Snoqualmie, and I started off on a snowboard because cooler than skiing. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. Cooler, the vibes there. You know what I mean? I'm like, cool, hell yeah. That was me doing like a shaka thing and sticking my tongue out. I don't know why I did that. Can't see it. Maybe someday I'll do a video podcast and you can see how much of a dork I really am. When I say when I fell over, which was like 5,000 times, I couldn't even get myself back up. It was bad. I ended up like halfway down the slope, just taking it off and just walking down. Full on walk of shame. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm not a snowboarder. We'll swap this bad boy back in at the rental counter and we'll get me on a pair of skis. Nope. Somehow worse. It's like, aren't you supposed to get better as the day goes on? Not what happened to me. I just fell over and over again until I racked the absolute shit out of my tailbone, and it still hurts. Really bad. Not like really bad, but like, it definitely aches. So I think I've discovered that any sport where I have to rely on my own two legs, especially when they're strapped onto two slippery pieces of wood or one single piece of fiberglass? I don't know what a snowboard's made out of. And basically just here, stand on these slippery things and go down the slippery hill. Nope, not a good sport for me. I am a liability on my own two legs alone. I don't need help hurting myself. I haven't completely written it off, though. Maybe. I don't know. I kind of have. Maybe someday Rob will be able to convince me to get back on it again and rack my tailbone again. But, man, when I tell you I was delusional, I made a whole playlist. I even have headphones. I just made a playlist. Jock jams. Songs from ATV Off-Road Fury 2. I'm pretty sure Tony Hawk Pro Skater Underground songs were on that thing. Like, I thought that I was going to go out there and do something. And all I did was hurt myself. But I tried something new. And wasn't really my thing. But trying something new is always a good thing. Especially when it's in front of a bunch of people. I didn't really like that part, I gotta say. I do like trying new things, but I like it to be in small controlled areas with people I trust. And not like Tesla drivers, you know? With $3,000 worth of REI gear on. It's not really my scene, I gotta say. Not really my scene. But I still have fun when I go up there. I spend time riding indoors, or sometimes I do venture outdoors to the fire pit. But I like it inside where there's french fries and not the risk of falling into a tree well. I recently learned what that was. Scary. Google it. But I did, you know, I conquered a really big fear of mine that day, and that is getting on a ski lift. Fuck those things. That is my consensus that I've came to. Seems like there's a better way to do that that doesn't make you feel like you're gonna die. I was gripping that bar like with a death grip. My hands were like white. I just kept going, and Rob had to talk me down from a panic attack multiple times. I kept being like, it's gonna get stuck, and this is the end of my life. They're gonna find me frozen up here to the bar. You know, just, I don't even know how high up you are. It feels like you're like 50 feet up in the air. It's probably like 15 feet up in the air, you know? It was like, it was small enough that like if I fell hypothetically, I would have lived. Maybe been like a little banged up from it, but I probably would have lived. But in a good note, I did give him a sheet of Olympia Oddity stickers. So if you do go to Summit at Snoqualmie and see stickers on like the little chairlift, I almost said chairlift, the little chairlift, you can thank Rob for that, doing some guerrilla marketing for me. And also, if you're here listening to this from one of those, just kidding, I love skiing. It's great, and I do it every weekend. I'm definitely not a Jerry, and I'm good at it, and I know what I'm doing. So, Rob and I have recently become obsessed with those mystery games that come in boxes, where you have to solve the crime. It all started, we were at Walmart, and I was like, you know what, I've always wanted to do one of those, but did not want to do it by myself. And in the past, I just didn't really feel like I had someone to do them with. But I was like, you know what? Let's get one. Let's take a crack at it. So we got this one that had three cases in one. And boy, are those things fun. God, if they don't take over your entire brain, though. We're like at a park trying to geocache. We took a break from solving one. And, you know, the next day we went out geocaching. And we're both like bouncing theories off of each other the entire time. We're like, what if this happened? What if that happened? You start thinking about these fictional characters as if they're real people. But we immediately realize that we are too conspiracy brained for them. We're trying to solve the first one, and he's like, Banana King, same person. And I got hung up on the fact that in the notes they said that the bars hadn't had lemons for like 3 months, but then there was a picture of the fruit market, and it had lemons in it. So I was like, what's the truth? What's the truth here? But we really think that we did crack the case on this one, and I'm not talking about solve it. We did solve it, the first one at least. We started the second one and then immediately got frustrated and gave up and got another one, which is about a murder of a rodeo clown. And we're working on that one right now. So fun. But back to the first game we bought. So we're like doing it, and you have to send emails to these fictional characters and everything. And I look at the box and I realize that this is official USPS branded merchandise. And we're like, what the hell? So it turns out there's this entire branch of the post office called the USPSI. And we kind of ended up doing like worm time slash a deep dive on the entire concept of postal cops. But we were like, okay, we're sending in emails. So they have our email addresses now, right? And at certain points, like sending in the email, they would have a timestamp of how far along we were in the case, right? We're like, what if the USPIS is using this as a recruiting tool, stay with me, as a recruiting tool to get new detectives? Like if you get a certain, like if you solve it super fast, or like, we want you, they're going to send you a letter and be like, we want you for the USPIS. I think that we're onto something here. I think it goes all the way to the top. And I think that we were onto something with that. But if you enjoy true crime or mysteries and you have the patience to like sit down and read a bunch of stuff, if that's your idea of fun, definitely go get one of those games. Oh my God, they are so much fun. We got his sister hooked on them now. We are, it's like we're spreading the curse, it kind of feels like. We're telling everybody about these. We told the lady at the coffee stand the other day all about it. We are just spreading the curse of being obsessed with fake crime solving mystery boxes. But they're so much fun, guys. Honestly, like, it's, you know, it's still, we're still kind of in winter. There's some crappy weather out there. You could even do it with the power out, as long as your phone's still going so you can send in the emails when you need to. But definitely check one of those out if that sounds interesting to you. They are so fun, and I am really excited to get more. I'm thinking about signing up for an entire subscription service for them. Like, I didn't know I would enjoy those so much, but I really, really have. Let's see, what else have I been up to? Ooh, we went to the Point Defiant Zoo, and I learned a valuable lesson. If your boyfriend ever says, hey, I know a secret bathroom, don't listen to him. It's not going to work out the way that you think it is. So that's the story of how we ended up accidentally walking into the high school that we did not know was located at the zoo, and quickly being escorted out while we were like, sorry, we didn't know it was a high school, we just had to pee. Don't know how he made it through the first time undetected. I guess they just let him do it. So that was a little mortifying for me. Been embarrassing myself left and right lately, falling down on a snowboard and then skis, accidentally going into places I'm not supposed to be because I thought that they had a nice secret bathroom. But besides the little bathroom fiasco, which I will definitely think about for the rest of my life as I'm trying to go to bed every night, it was a great zoo trip. I got to see all the updates they did to their aquarium. It'd been a while since I'd been there. The new jellyfish thing was so cool. They had like a orb with water that went over it with the jellyfish inside, like the little moon jellies. And it changed colors, and it was just like so cool. And they had all these different tanks. I find jellyfish so cool. They're basically aliens to me. I'm like, how does that even function and exist on this planet? And they're like mesmerizing. Like, I'm one of those people that I could just, they're like hypnotic. I could just stand there and just zone out and just watch jellyfish for like
an hour. Like, I had to be like, okay, we have to keep moving if we want to see everything, but I do just want to stay here and watch these. Oh, and my favorite zoo animal at Point Defiance is the muskox. I know it's kind of a weird pick. I've always liked them. I think that they're very cute. They remind me of something like right out of the Ice Age, or they're almost like a Dr. Seuss character. You know, they're just so cute. If I'm ever like a multi-billion dollar millionaire? What am I trying to say? If I ever am like a multi-billionaire, there we go. I'm going to have like me a little muskox ranch. And I'm not going to eat them or anything. I'm just going to have them to look at and to pet on. So if you see me one day with a herd of 50 muskox, you'll know that I hit the Powerball. I don't even know if it's legal to own one. Maybe I'll just sponsor one or something. I don't know. And finally, in the fun stuff I've been doing recap, we went to see Captured by Robots this weekend, and let me tell you, one of the most bizarre and unique show slash concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. If you don't know Captured by Robots, they're a man and two robots that he's built that drum and play guitar, and the drummer goes at like 400 to 600 beats per minute. I swear, this thing is just like, it's a face melter for sure. And it was just such a cool show. It was like half metal concert, half performance art, half, I know we're at one and a half with me saying this. The other part is a like engineering marvel, pretty much. You're like, holy crap, how did he even build these things? Let alone, how do they sound so good? It was just so cool. I think my favorite part was when Charlie Brown Christmas music started to play and J-Bot, the man in the band, came down and was like aggressively high-fiving people and shaking their hands and giving them hugs while being like, I want to shake your hand. It was some of the most aggressive affection showing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was just mesmerized. You truly did not know what was going to happen next. And I was along for the ride 100%. I knew like a little bit of what I was getting into, but I don't think I knew like the full extent of what I was about to witness. And if they're coming through your town anytime soon, please go see them. Tickets were like 10 bucks, and it was absolutely worth it for just the uniqueness, the strangeness, the bizarreness, and solid music on top of that. I also totally respect the urge to not want to work with band dudes so hard that you build robots to just get around with it. I can't imagine what taking those down and putting those up for every single show must be. I know that I couldn't do it. I would like forget an arm two cities away. You know what I mean? Be like, we can't do the show tonight. My guitar robot doesn't have its arm because I left it in Detroit, you know? But yeah, that was definitely a weird, wild experience, and I was totally there for all of it. And some exciting news, I have a new job. After months of the soulless, soul-crushing, depression-causing, stress-inducing, job-hunting experience, I've finally accepted a position, and so far, it's a great fit. I work in media communications now, and, you know, who would have thought that this podcast and my Canva account would one day help me out career-wise? I certainly didn't think so, but turns out that it really did. Everyone I work with is super great. I'm loving the job so far. I get to write. I get to make stuff in Canva. It's just great. I get to do what I enjoy doing all day and make more money than I ever have before in my life doing it. I was just kind of taking a moment the other day and I was reflecting on where I was last year and where I am now. And it's a little hard to talk about without getting a little emotional. Your life can really change so much in just a year, and mine's been for the better. I have so much more confidence now. I feel like I'm getting out there and actually living life and enjoying it and doing new things and things I've never gotten to do before, and just believing in myself. I've got just the best team of people around me that a girl could ever want. And it's just a great feeling. And now that I'm in a stable job once again, and I don't have the stress of job hunting looming over my head every day, I'm ready and able to come back here and give this podcast the time and energy and effort it deserves. So I can't wait to get back on a regular recording schedule for you all. It's been great getting to just do this again, just pop back on and tell you guys about my life and all the random mess of crap I've been doing lately. It just feels really good. Feels good to be back, and I can't wait to see what the rest of this year is going to have in store. It's been great talking with you all, and stay tuned for later this week because I will be recording a full normal episode of Olympia Oddities for y'all, and we'll hopefully have that out by the weekend, and if not, sometime, you know, probably before Wednesday of next week. I am going to Summit at Snoqualmie again this weekend, and I will not be skiing and falling on my butt, but I will be typing away and working on some outlines for the podcast. So I will talk to you again soon, guys, and damn, it feels good to be back. See ya.